to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hello, Brains, and welcome home. Back to On the Edge with April Mahoney. This is a very serious conversation, but we're going to laugh and we're going to learn. Are you a victim of domestic violence? Are you looking for a way out? Is maybe your way out being trapped by financial constraints, not understanding your worth, not knowing that there's resources out there, not being able to gain a living and knowing what you're entitled to? Well, I have a guest, Jennifer Jost, that is going to cover all of this. She is going to put a blanket of love around us. After her unimaginable loss, she has been blessed with two wonderful children in her adult life, but it came at a cost. And what is the price that we're willing to pay in life? But beyond that, she has been able to work with men and women as a wealth management advisor. And she works with women as a money coach, mindset. So I'm just full because my heart is heavy. I've got some things going on, and she's going to help me talk through it because that's what we do here on the Brains. We're one big community. We're one big family, and we share in each other's stories so that we can share in each other's glory. So I want to bring her to the mic right now, Jennifer Jost. Welcome to The Edge.
Why, thank you so much, April. I'm so looking forward to our conversation today.
Yeah, it's going to be powerful because I'm going to learn a lot from you in so many ways. So tell my Brains a little bit about who is Jennifer Jost.
That's a great. I love just diving right in, April.
Why not?
Why not? Jennifer Jost is crazy. No,
she's cool.
She's cool. I'm definitely cool. So I am a 55-year-old single mother of two beautiful grown, almost grown, you would think, adults, 22 and 23. I am taking care of my beautiful 86-year-old mother and my amazing father passed away last year at 94. And so he had a great run. It was all good. She's doing amazing. And I have two businesses that keep me very busy, and I'm very passionate about that.
Well, you are a strong woman. Where did that strength come from?
I truly believe growing up in an alcoholic home with the dysfunction and everything that happened and me learning amazing codependency, at the same time with all of that craziness happening, my parents loved me unconditionally as best as they possibly could. And I truly believe that the way my father loved my mother and respected her and as empowered as she was, as much as she possibly could be, I gained so much strength from that, even though it was crazy and made me the person who I am today and going through all these trials and tribulations. I mean, I'm blessed to know that it's really not me. It's really what I was given, born with, and the communities that I reach out to people to support me. And the one thing that I do amazing is reach out for help because this life is tough. Like, things are happening, and we need help.
Yes, ma'am. So my Brains don't know, but I do know. Tell them your story of domestic violence and your survival, how you came out victorious on the other side.
I love your words. I'm going to steal them also, victorious. I love
Absolutely.
That.
Absolutely.
So being raised in an alcoholic home, you grew up with survival traits that I still have to this day a lot. And I married my first husband. And, of course, knowing alcoholism, that's what I married because that's what I was comfortable with. Mm. He's an amazing man, successful, had a business, a home, you know, all the means, older than myself, and showed me a new life. His family was very large and amazing, and mine was very small. So it showed me a new life at the nice age of 19. So I married him, and we had two beautiful children. My son Nicholas was born when I was 21, and my daughter Cherie was born when I was 24. And by the time I was 27 or 8, I could not breathe. I don't know if you ever get that feeling that you just can't breathe and you're not sure what's going on.
Yep.
So I started reaching out, church, therapy, support groups, anything that I could do, because I literally thought I was, I just was going to die, keel over. So that
was
very helpful.
Let me ask the question. What was the cause of the suffocation? Was it the family? Was it being overwhelmed as a parent? Was it the alcoholic husband? Was it a combination of everything?
It's a great question, because nothing had really changed in my life, and I had been dealing with this for 10 years. But what had happened was I was hosting three events, large events, and that on top of everything else just popped my bubble. It was just, I was done. I was overwhelmed, and I was done. And then all of a sudden, I hit that wall and said, oh, I'm not living like this anymore. And I'm sure people can relate to that, because we get to our wall and we say, you know what, this is not working. And I just couldn't put my finger on it, because I was so scared to death. I just knew that something was going to have to change drastically. And we had the beautiful home and all the cars and the beautiful children. On the outside, I looked like the perfect mother, and, you know, PTA at school, and just the marriage was perfect, and everything looked great from the outside. But from the inside, I was scared to death, and I was dying inside. So I didn't know what it was until I reached out for help and got some therapy and went through some, you know, past traumas and, you know, growing up in an alcoholic home, going through all that stuff. And then I said, oh, okay, I get it now. So I filed for divorce. I'm making a long story short. He did not take it well at all. There was 6 months of hell, basically, 6 months of total hell. I was not supported at all by anyone, because, like I said, from the outside looking in, we looked great. There was no physical abuse. It was all emotional abuse. And I'm a very strong person. So it didn't look like I was being emotionally abused. And back in the 90s, we didn't even talk about that word.
Right.
So I felt lost and alone, and I didn't really know what to do. All I knew is I needed to get out, and I needed to protect my children. So after 6 months of hell, he finally left the house. I could breathe again, got a divorce attorney, started dating. There's more to that story later. Or another podcast. However, that was not the smartest thing for me to do, because it literally sent him into another dimension with his poor mindset, unfortunately. And he ended up kidnapping me and my children and holding me at gunpoint. Actually holding my daughter at gunpoint to get me in the car, then holding me at gunpoint. So he held me hostage for about 45 minutes and then let me go, because I had to go to work, and he had my children. I immediately called 911, and it started the 11-hour hostage negotiation standoff. Again, whole nother podcast on that. Unfortunately, at the end of that 11 hours, the chief came on the scene and issued a 10-minute ultimatum. In 10 minutes, 3 shots were fired. He took my children's lives and his self in my master closet in my bedroom.
Wow.
I was 29 years old, and my life was over as I knew it. I had no reason to get up in the morning. So, as you can imagine, where I would be at. But again, I was already going to therapy, so I basically went to bed and then went to therapy 3 days a week. Went to bed, went to therapy. I had a business. Thank God my family stepped in. I had rentals. They stepped in. They created a home for me. My friends and family took time off work. It was so devastating for so many of us. And they created a home and ran my business for a year so that I could literally just find a reason to get up in the morning. I went to a grief group for parents who have lost children, and that's where I found, for lack of a better word, solace. I found survival techniques and how to pick myself up and why. And there was a couple that had lost their son and just sobbed and sobbed every week, and another woman who lost her son, and she just handled her grief with such grace. And I found out that this couple's son had passed 5 years earlier.
Wow.
And I just said, there's no way that I could have that paralyzing grief every day for 5 years. And I literally made a decision that day. And I decided to survive. And I decided to survive with grace, with love, and for a reason. Ah, sorry, tears always come at a different time.
No. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? There's no shame here on the edge. All of us are crying. We're with you right now. I cry for him. I cry that he was in so much pain that the disease of alcoholism overtook his better judgment, and he felt that he had no way to control his life, your life, or the children's life. I grieve for the children that love both parents, and I grieve for you. But you have been able to take all of that, work strongly at the forefront for women in domestic violence situations and be a spokesperson for them, find a relationship, and have two children after that. So when you looked at yourself in the mirror and you said, you know what, I'm going to take this with grace, I'm going to learn to live again, what did that look like? What did that feel like?
At first, it felt amazing because I was so much in devastating pain that I didn't want to live. And then I just kept thinking there's no way that I could put my parents through this pain. So I had to live. Like, I didn't want to, but I had to. And then once I made the decision to live with grace, and I knew I was just here for a reason. Like, I just knew I was on this planet for a reason. Because he obviously wanted to take my life too, right?
Right.
So I just knew that I had a purpose. And when you find your purpose, it helped me so much get through my grief. It just helped me tremendously. I grieved for him the first year. Then I grieved for my son, and then I grieved for my daughter. They came in waves. Our body is amazing. It takes such amazing care of us. There's no way that I could grieve all three at the same time. So it literally gave me one person at a time to grieve with and to be with. And now, years later, being able to have my coaches and mentors help me share my story in public and all my flaws and all my mistakes that I've done, and I know my kids are here. Nicholas and Cherie are with us every time I share their story. So if anybody out there drops their keys or spills something, that's my son. Just send him some love because he's going to be silly. And if you're going to laugh for some uncontrollable reason, that's my daughter because she just giggled all the time. So they are with us. They are with everyone, and this is a way that I can share everyone with them and still – continue to hold them deep in my heart and move on with life because there's really no other choice.
Was there a lot of fear when you, you know, stepped into your next relationship or relationship that you're having now? Are there warning signs that you see, you know, because me, I have a thing against, you know, alcohol. I've got family member that was a raging alcoholic that I had never seen before. I understand it's a disease, but it impacts the entire, they think they're just hurting themselves, but it impacts the entire family, and there's no getting around it. Are there warning signs that women, first let me ask you this, are there warning signs that they should be aware of when finding that same pattern, that same circle of influence? You know, maybe you're finding someone that's still drinking or gambling or someone that's doing drugs. That's the first thing. And then the second thing, what are some of the stop signs that you say, you know what, I've been at this situation before. Maybe I need help. Maybe I need support.
That's wonderful. I am really a big proponent of all the 12-step meetings and support out there. My son, I like you said, I remarried. I actually married the gentleman that I was dating at the time. He saved my life because I don't think I'd ever trust another man again if I did not marry him. And I had two beautiful children, and my daughter Journey and my son Parker. And it is okay for me to share this story. My son actually suffers with addiction, and we have learned so much, and he is just the most amazing young man ever. And I would not be here again if it wasn't for the 12-step meetings and the 12-step supports. So I was going to Al-Anon through my first meeting, my first marriage, several years. And I started with Alateen with my father because he was an alcoholic. So, and now I do adult children of addicts, and I also do adult children of alcoholics as ACA. So there's so many different support groups out there, and I always say, just try one. Like if you have any addiction, alcoholism, gambling, sex addiction, anything that you think someone is not being honest about, go to a meeting because it's free, and there's going to be people there that can help you. And I still go. It's amazing. I love, love, love it. So that is always there for you just to reach out and check it out. Yes, there's definitely warnings. The gentleman that I was dating at the time did not drink at all. So that was perfect for me. In fact, he showed me a whole world. You know, we went to the movies and we didn't put little bottles in our boots or anything. Like, what do you mean you're not bringing alcohol? Like, I didn't even know what that was like not to bring alcohol everywhere we went. And
right.
So he showed me a whole new life of that. And then I actually woke up, and unfortunately, we did not work either after about, I don't know, 8 to 10 years. And then I remarried a firefighter who was, again, amazing and who had first person in my life that did not know my children. But he had been around with so much trauma and tragedy that he could understand me and help me. And he was amazing. We were married for together for 10 years. And he did not really drink either. So you get away from, you know, you go, you're like a rubber band. You snap all the way over on the other side, and then you
right.
come back,
right.
and you're happy in the middle. But I absolutely, it's funny that you say, because it's been years and years and years, right? I still have a coach that's helping me find men to be with and to be intimate with and share my vulnerable self with. So I
right.
still need help. I still have issues and triggers and distorted thinking at times, and I love myself exactly the way I am, and I'm learning every day on how to be the better me, and it's just so amazing.
Well, you are an amazing woman. And so now what you have done is you've taken all of this and you're really pouring deep into other women to grow something beautifully and organic. Tell me about the work that you're doing with women now.
It's so great. So I started a coaching program several years ago for the mindset around money for women. Being a financial advisor and a business owner like my whole life, I knew about money and investments and financial planning and all of that, but I noticed that a lot of my women clients still didn't feel secure, and they still did not feel worthy of the money that was coming in or getting close to retirement or even just understanding where their money's going. We have two groups. We are ostriches and we don't even want to look at it,
right.
which would be the same thing as not looking at our marriages and our relationships, the same thing as we don't look at our money. And then on the
right.
other side, we look at it, but we're petrified. So working with women, because it doesn't matter about the zeros, it matters what's in our mind and our beliefs and our childhood and growing up. So I literally have a program that we fall in love with our money. We romance our money, and it's so amazing. So during that, we're also falling in love with ourselves, right?
Right.
It's
That's
so
beautiful.
Great to see everyone. Yeah, it's so great. It's so fun, and we have an amazing community. We do events. We do lots of different things. So it's wonderful. And then I have on the other side is the wealth management is mainly couples, but of course my women bring me their men or my men bring me their women, and or I have, you know, single women that, you know, need somebody to bounce ideas off with, and we have a full comprehensive planning on that side of things, because as women, we use or feel about money emotionally. So if we make a mistake
right.
about money, we feel like it's part of who we are as a person, that we made a mistake, instead of, and it could be men feeling this way too, instead of just saying, oh, that's just an action that happened and I'm good, let it go. But we take it on as part of who we are. And so I help my clients release that and really feel true joy and true wealth bringing us joy, and being okay with, I love money, and I
right.
love money, and I love what money can do. It's amazing.
Well, it's a whole mindset. You know, I, years ago, years and years, maybe 10 or 11 years ago, I did an exercise where I had to write my money a letter. And I just took that pen to pad and went berserk. I told money how it was controlling and how it was dominating and how people would sell their soul for it and how it was hard to get and yada, yada. But the flip side of that is that money had to respond to me. So I had to write a letter on behalf of the money back to myself. And what I realized was, who was the person that controlled the purse strings? How did they make you feel about money? Was it there in abundance, or was there not enough? You know, what is the control? What am I willing to give up? Why am I giving this inanimate object so much power? Why am I in debt? Why did I just keep pouring it out and I never learn how to really make it a vehicle of exchange and teach it to work for me? Let me tell you, honey, after reading those two letters, I have been financially set up and free ever since. It has been phenomenal. But people don't understand that money is a vehicle of exchange, and it does make the world go around, and we do have to have it. But it does not have to encapsulate everything about who you are, and it's the identity of who you are. It's not, because there's so much more, like loving your family, like loving relationships, like loving yourself, like understanding the triggers. And you have done all that for women, and you've also given them an education to say, hey, you've got this vehicle of exchange, but let me show you how to make it work for you and you not work for it, okay? Don't let it pimp you through your life, because it's not good. It's not healthy. So you are working at all these great programs. You have great businesses. You've got a great life. You're just as cute as you can be. It looks like you're always having fun out there. Tell us about your book. You're writing a book now, Wine, Women, and Wealth. What is going to be inside the pages of that?
I'm pretty excited about this. And if anyone's written a book or anything at all, you see how it morphs over time. And so I have a friend helping me write it. And so it's actually turning out to be a, I want to say 12 step, but it's going to be, right now we have 8 steps on how to heal from trauma. And
it's going to be a New York Times bestseller. That's what it's going to be.
Oh, I hope so. Because it's really been what has kept me alive, but not just living an average normal life. So we can survive from trauma, and we can survive from childhood dysfunction, and we can have an okay marriage and an okay relationship and an okay business and an okay life. But I'm not here for an okay life. And I know you're not, April. We are not here for an okay business. We are here for an extraordinary life.
That's right.
So this book is going to help us get, I don't even want to say get through trauma, but really embrace it and come out on the other side with an extraordinary amount of joy and love, an extraordinary amount of passion in our life. And it's simple steps. It's going to be easy. And I pour my heart out in, so I have to say it's difficult for me to write. I actually had to stop our last writing session. Had a little bit of a panic attack there, which was so enjoyable. So it's very cathartic and healing for me, and I'm looking really forward to getting it out there and sharing with women and anyone who's gone through a trauma to take these next steps to really come into joy, come into an extraordinary life, because I really believe that women who feel worthy, and of course I add the wealth on there, but women who feel worthy of love and wealth will change this world. Not just change our community, not just change our city, not just change our state, but literally the women who are feeling worthy, we will have the empowerment to give love to everyone and change this planet. I truly believe that.
Right. Well, of course. That's what we're here to do. We're here to morph. We're here to manifest. We're not here to stay stagnant. Okay? We wouldn't be as evolved as we are. I mean, I'm looking at what's going on in legislation right now, and they're trying to turn back a woman's right to choose, whatever it is that she opts to choose. We're setting us back 50 years. But, you know, they got strong thought leaders, innovators, influencers, and game changers. And you're one of those, Jennifer Jost. And I want you to know that I am definitely Team Jennifer. Please tell my brains how they can get in contact with you and they can get on board.
Thank you so much. My website is the best place to go to, www.jenniferjost, J-E-N-N-I-F-E-R, J-O-S as in Sam, T as in Tom, .com, jenniferjost.com. It has everything there. I actually offer, if I can, your community a free gift. So
Ooh.
I do offer a complimentary money breakthrough session. And you can sign up directly on that website, and it will take you to the speaker, because obviously I do speaking events, and the coaching website, and then the financial planning website. So jump on there and say hi, and let's have a chit-chat. Even if you just have some questions or want to share, there's also another link for that to just come on and chat with me. I'd love to reach out and talk to as many people that want to take that next step, because sometimes, April, it's the hardest thing to do is to reach out. And if any of this has resonated with you, please jump on my website and let's have a chit chat.
Absolutely. I need you to jump on the back of this brains like you are riding a wild bull through a china shop. Okay? I need you to have a breakthrough. I need you to be at the top of your game. That's why I do this, because I love you and I care for you. Even if I've never met you, I feel you. I feel your energy and your synergy like I feel Jennifer Jost. Thank you so much. You know, I told you my heart is heavy right now. A lot of the situations that you talked about, we covered in this conversation, and I am feeling lighter. And I'm feeling that I know if there's somebody I need to reach out to, that you're going to be there for me, and I appreciate you. I really do. Brains.
Love you, April. Thank you for everything you do.
Thank you. Go back and listen to other edgy conversations. All of them aren't this heavy. Some of them are funny. I got comedians. I got artists. I got great sex, how to find a boyfriend, how to bring sexy back, just how to just be a good person, to be a good parent, all of that. So I really thank Jennifer Jost for coming here on The Edge and sharing with her this powerful story. If you are a woman in crisis, if you are a man in crisis, reach out. There's 12-step programs. There are victim advocate programs. There is a way out. There are people that care, and you can survive, because you know what? You got all your information on The Edge. I love you, Jennifer. Thank you so much. And please, when the book comes out, come on back. You got more stories to tell. Come on back. I got plenty of time for you.
Sounds great, sweetie. See you soon.
All right. Bye, brains. Have an exceptional day. I'm counting on you.